I am Dale Nieper. It's Friday, September 30th, 2000, and I am in the home of Mr. Benjamin H. Amos, a Harford County living treasure. Mr. Amos was born and raised in Falston on Model Farm and was named Harford County Farmer of the Year in 1983. He will describe major events in his life and in Harford County, Maryland. Mr. Amos, start off by telling us when you were born.
1911.
And you were born right here at this farm, weren't you?
That's right.
Which is 2508 Falston Road.
Right.
Could you describe what this whole area looked like when you were a very small boy?
I tell you, all it was down this road was an old dirt narrow road and one little farm against the other. And everybody had a little milk stand out and brought out cans of milk on it. And it's been a lot of changes.
Those milk stands used to be real common in Harford County for a number of years, didn't
oh,
they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They come along with a truck, you know, and pulled up to load them on and put them in the truck. And they had ice to put on it to get the Baltimore.
Anyone that's never lifted one of those milk cans doesn't know how heavy they are, do they?
Well, we had a man that, John Lynch, run the milk truck here. He was about 6'4" or 6'5", and a big Irishman. And he was the only man that they said could pick up a 10-gallon milk can in each hand and put it up on the...
That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of weight. How many generations of your family have been in Harford County?
Oh, we've been here as long as I can remember. Let's see, my father and his father, and my mother and her father and mother.
So several generations.
Yeah.
And was your father lived at this farm?
Yeah.
And how about your grandfather? Was this his farm as well?
No.
Okay.
No. They lived at Benson.
In Benson. And, you were born right here in this house.
That's right.
Amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about your mom and dad?
Oh, well, mother and dad. Dad was yelling horses and mules and cows for years. And he went from here down to Bel Air to Kenmore Inn, where the school is now. And him and Ed Greer sold Wisconsin cows and horses and mules out there. And I run the farm here at 15 years old.
Isn't that amazing? Now, your mom basically took care of the house and took chores?
Yeah. Mother was a great cook and a wonderful person.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
Four brothers and two sisters.
And did your family pretty much stay in farming? Were they all? Nobody did, except for you. Can you tell us a little bit about what life was like then as a child compared to what you see today?
Well, you know, I stop today and think about people that are young people, you know, that are getting married and stuff and starting out. They got everything. You know, they got a house and everything fixed just like rich people. But, listen, I remember when we went out to the outhouse and snow on the ground, it was pretty damn cold.
I'm sure. What kind of chores did you have as a youngster, too, on the farm?
Oh, well, I done about everything. Milk cows, spread manure, fork hay. And it used to be a great thing then, you know. Corn planted, it dropped it in hills, and there'd be 3 to 4 grains in a hill. Well, when it got about that high,
about 6 inches so high,
huh?
About 6 inches high.
Yeah, you'd right there for a nice rain was a good time. Pull off your shoes and went there and thin it. Be 2 stalks.
You do that with your feet, huh?
No, you had to pull it out with your
hands. I see.
But I say,
okay.
You do it after rain, you know, and the ground was a little muddy.
A little easy.
Right. We generally just pull off our shoes.
Yeah. How many acres as a small boy did you and your dad
farm? We had the two farms. One on the 165 over there and this one. And they both were pretty near identical, the same, 133 acres.
Which was a lot of land to take care of, wasn't
it? Well, it was then, you know, we done it all with horses and mules.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have no tractor then, but...
How did you heat the house during that time?
A wood stove and a chunk stove.
So you were busy cutting wood lots too, weren't you?
That's right. Took a lot of wood.
Took a lot of wood to do it. I'm sure it did. How about lighting the house?
Well, I tell you, Dad put in, way before electricity come through here, he put in a Delco system.
A Delco system?
And it had the batteries down in the cellar, and it worked pretty good. It didn't give a whole lot of light, but it was okay.
So that was like Delco, like the Delco batteries.
Yeah.
So you were using those.
Yeah.
A big version of it. That's interesting, and that gave you light for all your house.
I'm a little ahead of my story, but before that, we had carbide lights, and we had went over here under the road to the church, and we furnished the church with those little. They were nice little lights.
Mm. Well, that's something. It's amazing. What would have happened, heaven forbid, that in those days, when you were a young boy, if the barn had caught fire? Would there have been anybody around that would... How would you have tried to fight that fire? Would you just...
Well, I can give you a little experience of that. We, Dad just, sometimes wouldn't let hay get too dry. And, of course, we, you forked it all. No baler or nothing. And took it in on the wagon and pulled it up and dropped it in the mow. Well, if you didn't scatter that hay good where it was dropped, it would get awful tight, you know. And we had a bell out here that Mother would ring if she wanted anybody, you know, and they were out on the farm. And if they rang the bell, why, they'd come. And she rang it. We were down in the back meadow. I don't know what they were doing down there. But anyhow, she rang the bell, and they come, and there was smoke coming out the cracks in the barn. Well, they got the fire company come, and there was nothing they could do. So they said, there's only one thing you can do, is let's get a baler in here, an old-time baler that's set. And they forked that hay out of that mow into that and baled it and got it out. And in the center, that was charcoal. So, you know, it's a wonder it hadn't exploded.
Right.
But it didn't.
And that's something.
And the men could only work in there for 15 to 20 minutes, and they'd come out and somebody else would go in.
Right. They would figure out what started it.
Just a damp hay, wet hay. I thought it was just too wet.
Mm.
Wasn't cured good enough.
Mm. Interesting. Well, where did you go to school?
I had a little school up here at Crossroads where the garage and the door place is. Then they closed that, and I went down here to Youth Benefit on Pleasantville Road. It's still up there.
Sure is.
Yeah, the boy's got a pet shop in there.
How long did you go to Youth Benefit?
I only went to sixth grade.
And how did you get there?
Walk.
And which is a distance of about, what would you say?
Oh, I'd say it's close to 3 miles.
Right, one way.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 miles one way. How long would it take you, basically, to get to school in the mornings?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe 20 minutes, a half hour.
When you got to school, did you have any chores there that they wanted you to do?
Oh, yes. You had to get the coal out of the shack down there and bring up to the wood stove. And then there was no water, say, or pump. So we walked down through the woods, across the road, and there was a little farm there that Mr. Gray, it's all grown up now. And they had a spring there. and two of us would go with a bucket and get a bucket of spring water and carry it back and put it in fountain, I guess.
Okay. And that was your water for
that was the water for the day.
Now, they have a little outhouse there for bedroom time?
Yeah, I had a little lighthouse. I guess I better not put this in there. But the dad, we had one boy that was, he was an army brother, and he cut a hole in where he could look through and watch the river.
Well, boys will be boys, as they say.
That's right.
Tell me what it was like, how did the teachers teach you in those days, and what was school day like for you?
They were very nice. Yes, they were. Yes. Miss Snyder taught the higher grades, and I can't think of the other teacher's name right now. But it was quite a different thing than today.
And did you use slate? Did you write on slate?
Yeah.
Those days? How about ink? Did they use ink pens or anything like that at all?
Oh, they had colored ink in little vials and a pen with a point on it to stick down in there.
And that's what you have to do: stick the pen down in there and write on.
Yeah,
write on that. How did you decide what you were going to do when you grew up? What kind of job you were going to have? How did you decide that?
Oh, I don't know. I just loved farming. I loved the earth, and I had nothing else in mind.
So farming is something that, as a young boy, you just loved, and you just decided you were going to stay with it.
That's right. That's right. And I was, I got married, and I left the farm here and went over to the other farm that Dad had and farmed it for 4 years for him.
Now, where was that located?
It's right on the big house on the right-hand side going toward Jarrettsville.
Okay. Right off of Fausten Road?
165.
At 165.
Yeah. Turn up here at the light and go toward. And then Dad kind of retired. And he bought a little house and farm down here at Lake Fanny. And he was mowing one day with a little old tractor and got off of it and left the damn sickle bar mower running. And walked down to a tree to cut a thistle down. And that damn brake come off that little tractor and went down and cut one of his legs off. So he retired and I come back and bought this farm. And that was in 33.
So you've owned the farm since 1933.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's very good. You mentioned, too, about getting married. How did you meet your wife?
Oh, I met her, I guess you could say, through church. Yeah, we went together 4 years before we got married. And wonderful woman. She worked in Bel Air. As a secretary for W.E. Robinson, $12 a week, and paid $2 board at home.
Wow.
So we started out, I had $400 when I got married, and sold the milk in Baltimore to Mr. Chris. His wife died, and he sold me all his furniture in the house for the $400. So that's how I...
That worked out well for you.
Yeah.
It did. How many children did you have? Do you have?
Four boys and two girls.
Okay. And how many grandchildren?
17.
Wow. And some great-grandchildren?
I think there's 14.
Wow. And your sons go into agriculture? What did your sons decide to do?
One son is in Ohio, a computer specialist. Been there 30 years. And I have a son in Chadford, Pennsylvania, that was with DuPont for 30 years. And he's with a firm now that, the office is up in Reading. But it's a German firm, and he travels all over the country. And then the other son is at Harrisonburg, Virginia, with the Apple Company down there, Bowman. And the senator was my son, Bill Amos, and he passed away here.
Yes, I know he did. Wonderful man.
And my one daughter, Jane Dean, is the principal of St. Mark's Church.
St. Margaret's in Bel Air?
Mm-hmm. And my other daughter is the one that her husband farms at Brown, Piper. And they live up here, Black Horse.
Well, you've had a wonderful family.
I have. Yeah, I got I know people have said to me, that one on the farm. I said, listen, I'm proud of them boys. They got good jobs, good pay, and good benefits, you know. And but they all come and help. They've all come at Saturday and Sundays and picked up the odd jobs and kept things looking good for me.
Good. Well, and as I know you know, farming is a wonderful life, but it's also a difficult one, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it's work. I milked cows for 35 years, mm-hmm. and he just got the best of me.
Sure.
I sold them, and I put on beef cows up until this come along.
Well, I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. Before I do, though, I want to ask you a couple of things. As a young man, you know, not married yet, so forth, what kind of activities, social activities, were there to be done in Harper County?
Were none. you had to make your own.
Yeah.
Now, I loved to play baseball. I was a pretty good pitcher. And on Sundays and Saturday evenings, if we could get up off, we played different little teams, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody didn't have any uniforms or nothing. They were just well in the meadow.
Play ball. All right.
No, there wasn't no recreation.
Did the church do some social activities? You said, I think you mentioned you met your wife that way. Is that basically the big social
thing? One of the big things that I was Catholic at St. Mark's in Paulson.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things was the Johnson tournament.
Yeah. Can you explain a little bit what that jousting tournament was?
Well, you had three archies, and they had a little rod hanging down from them, and you could have, it had three size rings, three quarters, a quarter, and a half inch. I'm telling you, that half inch was pretty big going small. And you rode through there on a horse with a lance. The only one that does it around here now is up at St. Mary's. They have a tournament there every year.
And of course, that's the state sport of Maryland, isn't it, jousting?
Yeah.
And yet you don't see it very much.
No, but it's nothing like it. There was every place. Oh, I went. We used to go to different places, Randallstown and all around to different. But I don't know whether they still run now or not.
Now, I want to ask you some other things about what life was like when you were still a young man, before you maybe even married, I don't know. But did you pretty much grow everything that you needed to eat?
Oh, yes, indeed. We had young chickens. We had turkeys. We raised our own pigs. We killed our own steers, and we didn't have to buy a whole lot, I'll tell you.
So you did all the butchering and the curing and all that sort of thing. I guess that was a big process, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. You take, generally, neighbors would help each other, you know, because we killed hogs then that weighed 350 and 400 pounds, and they were hard to handle. And scald them and take the hair off and hang them up and open them up and let them, you done it in cold weather, you know, and let them cool out during the night, and then the next day, you start cutting them up. And I know it would take mother and them 2 to 3 days to do the lard, and that was a lot of work. But I don't know, I don't get no hog meat today that tastes like it did then.
You think it's because of the curing process?
Or? Well, not only that, I think it's the way it's fed, too. See, they raise hogs today, 6 to 8 months, ready to kill. We kept a hog a solid year, and And the last 2 to 3 months, he got nothing but pure corn and water. Boy, that meat was sweet.
Did you butcher one time a year, pretty much? Is that the
Yeah, yeah. I'd say around November to December.
And of course, doing the cold weather makes sense because it helped preserve the meat.
Right? That's right. See, you had to. You didn't have no refrigerator to cool it out or nothing, you know. So you had to get that heat out of it.
Now, you pretty much raised everything you needed. Was there anything from the store that you would buy?
Oh yes, yes. You had to have flour and sugar.
Where would you get that?
Well, we had two little stores up here in Crossroads. One was run by Chenoweth, and the other one by Scar. And mother made butter, and we had chickens, and we'd take them eggs and the butter up to the store, and you could put in there trade it for your flour and sugar and salt and pepper. And
so you do some trading and bartering.
Oh yeah, yeah, work. Yeah. They would take the eggs and buy the butter, and of course they went to Baltimore once a week, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then they sold it in there.
That's interesting. Can you describe generally the changes that you've seen in Harford County over your many years?
Oh my Lord, I tell you, the roads. The traffic out here is terrible, I tell you. Some evenings it'll be back, clean to this road back here, can't get to the light.
That's a couple miles, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's something. And there's been so many changes, you know, in farming. We all got tractors and we've got combines that cost $200,000 and, back in them days, I had a little combine that I pulled with a tractor that cut 5 feet wide. And, was that a... Bagging that stuff in that dust and dirt was a job, I tell you. But we got it done.
Very well. You got it done very well.
Before we got the combine for the thrashing machine, you know, we call it. The farmers all helped each other in them days. The thrash machine, if it was up here, say at Mr. Wernicke's farm, and he finished, he had a whistle on there, he'd blow. And the farmers that was helping with that were already down here and had the wagons all loaded, waiting for him. And that's how they operated. And,
so a lot of cooperation between the farmers.
Then they blew that, the thrash machine blew that straw in the barn, and that was a dirty mess. You get in there and try to trap it and keep it down with that dust and dirt coming in there. But it's a wonder all the people hadn't died from dust and dirt in them days.
Yeah, sure. It's interesting what you're saying, too, in terms of how the farmers helped each other a lot.
That's right. No, but I don't know if people don't help each other today. No, sir, they don't help.
Are you concerned, too, about the fact that we're developing so much and farms are disappearing?
Well, they can't develop this. I sold my development rights.
Okay. So this will always remain?
It'll always be agriculture. I've seen enough houses. And they're still building.
Still building, Michael. They certainly are. I know roads have changed a lot. You've talked about that. Did you, as a young boy, did you ever get to Baltimore?
Oh, yeah.
How did you get there?
Oh, with a wagon and horses.
Do you recall how long that would have taken you to go from here?
Oh, it would take a good while. If you had a heavy load going down 165 and up Bowling Hill, they called it, you had to take a couple extra mules or horses with you to pull you up over that hill, and then they would come back. And they were good enough. We had a team that you could all hook up there and put the traces and things up and turn them loose, and they come right on back home here.
In either way.
And you went on to Baltimore with your load.
So you'd use those just to help get over that hill.
That's right.
And then they were smart enough to just come back on the road.
Yes, sir. They knew how. They knew.
When you were on the farm and you were having to use mules and horses, you had to grow a certain amount of food just for them, didn't you?
Oh, you couldn't. They ate three meals, just like you.
Yeah. So that was another amount of land that had to be devoted for their food.
That's right.
As a dairy farmer, as Harper County changes more and more, people probably don't understand what's involved in dairy farming. Could you just tell us a little bit about what you had to go through in order to run the successful dairy farm?
Well, I tell you, a dairy farm was a 7 days a week job. And if you stuck with it and handled it right, you could make a little money. Some people didn't because they just didn't take care of it. Now, when we were shipping milk, we got a milk check for $350 or $400 a month. It was nice. Yes, but everything was so cheap then. You take feed. I could buy cottonseed for $20 a ton. Cottonseed today is $250 a ton. So, but they're getting now, we got $3 and something a hundred per mil. They're getting now, I think, 12 or 13. But it's just a different time.
Sure.
Why
do you think the costs have gotten so high in farming? You have any idea?
Oh, I'd say it's all over equipment and stuff. Yeah.
The very expensive equipment has
created. That's right.
Created
and everybody's gotten so big, see. Back in my day, if anybody milked over 50 cows, he was a big man.
Big farm.
Now some of them milk 2,000 and 3,000.
Yeah. How many were you milking at the height of your farm?
65.
65. And you milk them in the morning and the evening?
That's right.
And how many, do you recall how many gallons of milk you'd be shipping in a week or a month?
Well, that would be a little hard because it was all in a tank,
see,
then.
Okay.
And I built that new barn down there. It's, I guess 35 years ago. And it was the old barn housed 40. And I built this new one and it had 60 stalls.
How long would it take you to milk all those cows?
Oh, it didn't. It'd take about 2 hours.
But that was 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the evening, right? And then what you do in between time?
Oh, good Lord, you had to get out and do your farm work and clean the barn and spread the manure and get ready for the next milk.
You never had to worry about what to do, did you?
No, indeed.
Well, you got very interested in Holsteins.
Huh?
You got very interested in raising Holsteins.
Oh, yeah.
I was just curious why.
Well, because it was just they give more milk. They didn't test as high as a Jersey or a Guernsey, but
when you say test as high, you mean not as much fat?
That's right.
Okay.
But they just didn't have the wasn't just as profitable. That's all. Now I had all registered cows when I sold out, and I they sold very good, and I kept my heifers, and I took one heifer. I took two heifers to Eastern Shore to the Holstein sale, state sale. And she topped the sale, $2,250. Well, I thought that was very nice. And Brian Eisland bought her, and he showed her, and she was grand champion at Timonium. And she was a reserve grand champion at the National Dairy Show. So he done all right.
Yes, he did.
So he had a sale, and he sold her, and she brought $30,000.
Ouch. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I got her picture in there on the wall. She was a beautiful animal. Beautiful.
What made you decide to switch from dairy farming to beef cattle?
Well, I got Teddy. Help was scarce. Hard to get anybody to help milk. I had arthritis awful bad. It was hard to get my arm cup to put the doggone milk hose on. So I come up one morning and I said, Mother, I'm going to sell them cows. Oh, she says, you're kidding. No, sir, I said, in 30 days they're going to be gone. And they were. And I know some of the other farmers around said, I bet you're milking cows again in 60 days. But no. Then I sold heifers for 5 years. Bought small heifers and raised them and bred them and sold them. And that got so that farmers didn't have any money, half of them. And they want to borrow them on time, you know, and wasn't working out too good. So I bought a little herd of black Angus up in Pennsylvania. And they done me good. Yes, sir, they done good. And last fall, I just thought I wasn't feeling too good. And I said, winter's coming on and it gets bad and I won't be able to get down there to tend to them. I'm not going to bother anybody. So I sold them to old Kent Farrell down here. I guess you read he got killed. And Kent bought them. So then I turned the ground over to my son-in-law. So they farmed the ground, and this year I rented them the pasture.
Very good. Now, I know as a young boy you raised pigs and chickens. Did you also raise pigs and chickens you were doing the other two?
Yeah, we were all in the 4-H. I had Guernseys in the 4-H.
4-H is certainly a well-known organization, but from your point of view, why was it so important to you?
Well, I tell you, it kept kids closer to the farm and closer to animals, you know. And they learned that animals didn't take care of themselves. But, no, I think 4-H is a wonderful thing for children.
Now, I know you were a member of the Maryland Cooperative Milk Producers Association. But could you tell us what that is? What's that group do?
Well, see, that they control the price of the milk. And they sold and that's where they give the checks out, too. And pretty much every year we would get a refund of a little bit. But then they had a big banquet every year. And they give out rewards for the lowest milk counts. And I got that 5 years in a row.
Now, was that for bacteria?
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, the lower the better, right?
That's right. That's right. They come and took these samples out of the milk, and you had to do a pretty good job. Yeah.
Now, I know you've also hosted the annual Farm Visitation Day at your farm, too.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we had, I enjoyed it. I got my neighbor, he had two ponies, and he brought the ponies and took the kids on rides, and we had wagon tours of the farm, and then they watched us milk in the evening, and we had refreshments, and I think a lot of children come, and I think it was good. I think it's good. Because, you know, there's so many people today, they don't know where the food comes from. They think it's raised in the supermarket.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know because you've been involved in agriculture for a long, long time, I know you receive a lot of awards. I know you were Harford County Farmer of the Year, but there are some other awards that are things that you've been especially proud of in your time in agriculture.
Well, yes, I guess there is. I have done quite a bit in conservation just this past year. I fenced all the streams in the woods off so the cows can't get in it.
And of course, for those who wouldn't understand, why wouldn't you want a cow in a stream?
Well, they claim that's what's polluting the bay. These cows are standing there, you know, messing, and they love to stand in there in cold weather, in hot weather. Then I've been a member of the Posting Association, I guess, for 50 years.
And I'm sure many, many other things.
Oh, yes.
That you probably have been involved in as
yes,
well.
Yes, I was a 4-H leader for 14 years, and I had one of the best 4-H clubs in the county. Then I got a lot of experience and a big kick out of, Bill's treasurer for 24 years.
Senator, your son, Bill.
Yes. Yeah.
It must make you very proud of his accomplishments.
That's right.
And of course, when they named the new theater, they named it his honor, must make you feel real good.
And they're going to build the Agriculture Center in his
right.
honor. And they got different things all around. No, Bill done a great job. He was a... I've told his story, too, but it's a great story. Yeah. But I don't... here on the farm. And he helped me. Went to Purple School at Long Green. And when he got through there, he finished up at St. Margaret's. And then he went to high school. And he got out of high school. He helped me for a while. And one morning they come, they said, "Dad, I think I'll join the Army." I said, "Yeah? Yeah, I think I'd like it." Well, I said, "That's what you want to do. Go ahead." So he was in Germany for 3 years and a half. And they kidded him about it. He, Bill, while he had days off or anything, he went and looked and toured the cities. And the other boys was out drinking and stuff. And he lent them money and charged them interest. Yeah. So he got out of the Army and he come home and he helped me for a while again. And he said, "I can get a job with Waller Cole. See, Cole, the church belt machinery." Well, I said, "You won't be mad with me, will you?" "No," I said, "go ahead." So he went there. And I know he always said, he said he learned more at Mr. Cole's than he learned any place else. And he got out of that and he was helping me again. And he come one morning and said, "You know, I think I'll go to auctioneer school." I said, "My God, what next?" So he went to auctioneer school and he started, and he done very good at it. Done very good at it. Then he come after that and he said, I believe I'll run for the House of Delegates. Well, I said, "I don't know, Bill." But I said, "Mr. Chenoweth up here run the store." I said, he's a great old politician. I said, "We'll go up and talk to him." So we went up, sat down, and talked to him, and he looked up at Bill, and he said, "Go for it." So that started Bill's career, and I think he was 4 years, I think, and then he ran for senator more than that. And I'm going to tell you, if he hadn't got this blood disease and things, he'd have been governor.
That's great.
He was like so.
Yes, he was.
Everywhere. And they say he was one of the best in finance that you could get. Yeah.
Let me ask you just a few other little questions about your life here on the farm. The Great Depression time period. During the Great Depression, 1929. How did that affect you here?
Oh, I don't know. You just had to tighten your belt and work it out. I know some people... well, just quit, but you can't do that. You can't do that, but I had a good wife that knew how to handle money and stuff, and we pinched through. We pinched through all right. I think I raised every kind of a crop I could raise that would bring in a dollar. Yeah.
And of course, you had enough to eat yourself because as long as you had the land, you knew how to grow, right?
We had the land and a good cook, right?
How did you see Harford County overall during the Depression? Did you notice any great upheaval here in Harford County during that time period?
No, no. The only thing I've often thought about, if a man had had $50,000 back then, he could have bought a half of Harford County. But we, during the Depression days, we had an awful lot of little farmers move in here from North Carolina and Virginia. And they come up in here and bought these little farms of 30, 40, 50 acres for $2,000 or $3,000. And they raised everything that they eat, and they were thrifty. They done good. Yes, sir.
Okay. How about during World War One and World War Two, when there was a big demand for farm products?
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice a change in the farming?
Oh, yes, yes. It was good. It was good for a while. Yes, indeed. You know, everybody had a job. They used everything that they could find. We were very lucky. There wasn't any boys of that age to go in the Army. So we didn't have to say the farm kept them out of the Army.
How about the old Harford County fairs? I'm sure you were involved in those, weren't you?
Dad was president of the Harford County Fairs for 5 years, and I used to work down there, help clean up afterwards, and you know, it was a great little fair. Yes, it was. It's a shame that ground was ever taken up. Because where they got it now is, it's just...
Of course, that used to be built by a racetrack, too. Did you ever see any races there?
Oh, good Lord, yes. I used to ride in the mule races there.
Did you?
Yeah. And my brother and I had, we had a pair of little mules, and, they was, run them around the track. There was, six or eight of them would start. But we had a Martin girl that had an old mule with a old brown mule with a white mane and tail and nose, and he would win from her every race because he would, you know, just keep running. But I got her beat. I had a little brown mule that could run.
Did when the fair came around, it would come, what, usually in August? Is that the time period? Would you actually stay there each day, or would you come back home, go back and forth?
Back and forth.
Back and forth.
And we had, Dad had old Guernsey cows, and we showed them there.
So did you have to drive? How did you get those cattle there to the fair?
Oh, we had a little old Ford truck.
So you just hauled them in that truck. Was the old county fairs an opportunity, too, for people, like families, to get together and see each other and may have not seen each other?
That's right. It was, and, you know, they had displays of homegrown fruits and things that were processed. And it was a wonderful little fair.
Not like the one we see today by comparison?
Well, similar. The only thing with this one, they haven't got no ground, you know. There's no room and no parking. But they had plenty of parking here, and I hate to see that little fair go. But that's progress.
I know you are a member of St. Mark's Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So how long have you been a member there?
Oh, let me see. 65 years.
Wow.
I wasn't a Catholic. My wife was. And I went over.
And I know you've been involved in doing different things, some activities and things over there, too, I guess.
Oh, yes.
What are some of the activities that you've been involved with?
Been on the parish council 3 different times, and done a lot of work. My wife, she run the chicken dinners, and if I do have to say it, and I think plenty of other people would, there was no chicken dinners would match them. No, sir.
That's good. I'm going to turn the tape over now, and we'll continue the interview on the second side. Over the years, I'm sure you've met a lot of people who have made an impression on you. Some of them may be famous, some of them may not be famous.
Yeah.
But who stands out in your mind that really made an impression on you and why?
Well, there's a lot of people that have made an impression. There's a guy by the name of John Marsh, was with 4-H, and he used to come here when I had demonstrations of for the children of how to flip a cow and shear and so forth. And John was a wonderful person. He could show kids how to do things, and I know my daughter said that she saw him up at the Harrisburg show last week. And he's getting pretty tighter. He's up in my age. But he was always I thought was a, you know, the type of person that you'd want to know and associate with.
When you were helping your son as the treasurer of his campaign, you got close to the politics and so forth. How did you enjoy being in the political area?
Well, I tell you, I didn't get in it too heavy. No. We had bull roads here at the farm for him and different things, but I just handled the treasure, and that was it.
Politics didn't appeal to you that much?
No. Oh, I used to go to Annapolis and sit there beside him on the opening days, and But politics, I don't know, it's like today with the presidential thing. You hear them talk, and they just talk and talk and talk the same things over and over and over again. And there's so many things a politician can't do when he gets in there. There ain't no use telling you you're going to do it.
Speaking of that, what would you like to say, based on all your years of experience and so forth, what would you like to say to the future leaders of our country and our county about what you think should be done to make life better here?
Well, that's a tough question. I just think I never could figure out how one woman could get past the saying the Lord's Prayer. And I think ever since the day that the Supreme Court turned that down, this country has been going a little bit the wrong direction. And there's a lot of people that's been in politics and things that haven't been too, you know, too good. Now I see they just passed the birth control tablet. I just don't think that's a good thing.
Thank you, Mr. Amos.
All right. I enjoyed being with you.
Very good. In your 89 years, I know you've seen many changes and interesting events.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks so much for sharing them with us today.
Thank you.